Hallelujah, there are no notices apart from the fact that Jeremy sends his apologies. Jeremy is at a city luncheon. So imagine, if you can, Jeremy with a glass of champagne at a reception. It's impossible to imagine, isn't it? I mean, you could never see him there. He did say he would much, much rather be here, but, you know, he's prepared to make the sacrifice of three courses with matching wines so that he can be out there for the gospel. We may not have Jeremy with us, but we do have God. And if we turn to his word, we're going to just be in Acts. We're going to read one verse, Acts 1, verse 8. And that's on page 1031. And Jesus has died, Jesus has risen again, and he's about to go up to heaven. So we're approaching Pentecost Sunday now, the time of year when we remember that God poured his Holy Spirit out on the church that first time. This is the last thing Jesus says, the very last thing Jesus says before he ascends to heaven, and then Pentecost is next. He says to the church, those first disciples, but the church throughout the ages, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. You will be my witnesses, says Jesus. And I think the sad thing is that for a lot of our church culture, we've managed to turn this evangelism, witness, sharing faith thing into something that we end up feeling quite guilty about, rather than being an opportunity to be excited to see God at work. I have 5.5 minutes to try and replace guilt with a hunger for opportunity. That's the hope. You can tell me whether it succeeds or not. Let's start, though, by thinking about the guilt. Where does the guilt come from? I think the guilt comes for many of us because what happens is we've tried sharing our faith. We feel like we've failed, and so we just give up, and so we feel guilty because we're not doing it. And we read books like Acts, and we see the exciting escapades of Peter, Paul, Philip the Evangelist, biblical characters not beginning with the letter P. And we think, well, that's not me. I'm not doing that. I don't measure up. I'm no good. Why bother? And can I suggest that as we read Acts, we shouldn't necessarily see them as our only at all, or necessarily our main role models, because the whole of the book of Acts is structured around this verse that we've just read out. So the witness starts in Jerusalem, and that's the first seven chapters of the book of Acts. Then these pioneers, these great figures who are pioneering types, take it to Judea and Samaria. That's Acts chapter 8 through 12. And then from chapter 13 onwards, we go on this mission throughout the rest of the known world, to the ends of the earth. So what Acts is doing is, Acts is not saying this is how everyone behaved. Acts is following the gospel as it spreads and goes out and crosses boundaries. And so whilst the camera is following these pioneers, most Christians at the time of Acts, like most Christians nowadays, are doing their witnessing in much more ordinary ways. You know, most of us are not called to be Peter, Paul, Philip, and other people, you know, the Billy Grahams, the Nicky Gumbels. Choose your hero and recognize that actually it's probably okay if we're not like that, because we're probably not called to be like that. We're called to witness, but just not in that way. Another reason why we might give up on sharing our faith is that we've tried to do it in our own strength. We felt guilted into trying to do it, possibly by a sermon that started a bit like this, or something you heard, you know, get people along to the next Alpha course or whatever it is. So we've psyched ourselves up, we've tried to cook something up, and relied on ourselves rather than looking to God. And then it flopped, and we think, well, again, why bother? But what does Jesus say? You will receive power, and then you will be my witnesses. It doesn't say you will generate your own power and then you'll be my witnesses. It doesn't say you will fake it till you make it and then in that way you will be my witnesses. No, it's a promise. You will receive power. You and I will receive power from God, and then with that power we'll be able to witness, to share our faith. The question is, what does that power look like? Well, sometimes it is extraordinary. We can think of the exorcisms, the healings, the revivals that we see in Acts, and also that still happen today. And yes, that is a very obvious demonstration of God pouring out amazing power on us, his church, to his glory. But whether we're in a time of miraculous revival or not, he has promised each one of us power in a way that's much more, well, feels much more everyday, but is no less supernatural and can I suggest is actually even more striking for witness. So he's promised that each one of us, if we're Christ's, will day by day, bit by bit, little by little, be a bit more like Jesus Christ. Now, what's the job? To witness to Christ. What an amazing way for God to bear witness to his son. Think about it from your colleague's perspective. They aren't convinced whether Jesus is real, but in your life and my life as we grow, they start to see Jesus appearing before their very eyes. And so we can kind of get very excited about the healings, the exorcisms, those instantaneous miracles. And God is about, in every single one of us, doing an ongoing, long-term, keeping going, never stopping, all the way into eternity type miracle that's going to bear fruit, that Christ-likeness. Jesus said, "You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses." And then the people prayed for power until Pentecost and the Spirit was poured out. So can I invite us? It only takes a third of a second. More power, Lord. Power in my life, Lord. It doesn't need to be much. But every day, may we pray for that power. And let's see what happens. Maybe it'll manifest itself in that colleague you've been getting to know. You pray for them and they get healed. Maybe it'll manifest itself in the person in the desk next door that you've been secretly praying for, being delivered from a spirit of fear. Definitely, it will look like you and me becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we are actually going to shine. We really will. And people will wonder, what's different about them and where do they get it from? And then there comes a God-given opportunity to speak. God promises to make us more like Jesus. What might this look like? Well, how about these things that I think are promised in the scriptures that we can pray for? You will receive power to have a hard shell, but not a hard heart. You'll receive power to treat those you work for, those you work with, and those you manage as real people, each with individual intrinsic value, not as resources to be thrown at the current job just to get it done. You will receive power not to be controlled and ruled by the square mile trinity of pride, fear, and envy, but instead be controlled by the peace, the joy, and the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You will receive power to, as the Lord enables, speak God's word into situations with his patience, his kindness, his wisdom, his love. You will receive power to be no one's doormat. And yet, as a son or daughter of heaven's king, serve others with the freedom of Christ. And this, I say, is promised, because this is Christ-likeness, and we all get this. With that power, we will be witnesses. People won't be able to miss us. Now, I want that power in my life, don't you? And Jesus says, you will receive power. And I say, come, Holy Spirit.